Good morning, everyone. I have to tell you this morning, it hurts my heart to be away from Ebenezer. This is my first Sunday away, and I very quickly developed the same love and passion for that assembly as I have for all of you. I'm going to be speaking of those things a little further today going forward. I would love to tell you all of the beautiful things that God has done in a little assembly of people that were in a very broken place at the beginning of this year. It's been a beautiful year of restoration, and the Lord has added on to us so wonderfully. It would take me a long, long time to tell you how good God has been at Ebenezer Bible Church, but that's not why I'm here today. I'm here today to express to all of you that all of these beautiful things that God has done in that small assembly of people that were in a very broken place, all that hope, all that joy, all that rejuvenation, all that rebuilding and restoration is 100% entirely an extension of this assembly of believers that I enjoyed fellowship with for all these so many years. And today I hope to express a message of thanks, a message of love, a message of appreciation, and a message of commendation to all of you here. Before I go any further, I'm going to ask for the Lord's help because I certainly need it always. If you'll bow your hearts with me, kind Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your people, Lord. They're so precious to me, Lord. I love your people more and more every day that I live and breathe in this world, Lord. They're precious. And that's a powerful statement because I know you love them more than I'm even capable of. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your goodness towards all of your own always. I cherish it and I thank you for it. Ask your blessing upon our time together here this morning, Lord. Pray that you would hide me in your shadow. I can accomplish nothing that has everlasting meaning without your help. Hide me in your shadow that only you can be seen this morning, Lord. And I thank you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, for your mercy. It goes without saying, but I hardly can leave it unsaid. You're awesome and amazing and wonderful in every conceivable way, Lord. I thank you for being all that you are, for being who you are, for being all and being in all things. I thank you, Lord, that in you, I and we have our being. We live and breathe and have our being. You're awesome and amazing and wonderful. I thank you for your presence with us. Have your way in every heart and soul in this place and all that's said and done here, Lord, in the continuation of this service. Might it bring glory and honor and praise to you, for you are worthy above all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. The message I have to deliver to you this morning, you can find, if you want to follow along, in the book of Philippians. In the church Bible, if you're using the Bible in the pew, you'll turn to page 1220. I learned that from my pastor, and I use it every Sunday at Ebenezer. The book of Philippians, the landowner that I'm presently logging for, I'm cutting his timber, is a wonderful man of faith. And I had many beautiful conversations with him, and he even gifted me with a study Bible that I've grown quickly fond of and have begun using. But in all of our enjoyable conversations together with one another, he asked me about a week ago if I have a favorite book in the Bible. And I said to him, I can't really say that I do. And then I shared with him that I am extremely fond of the Apostle Paul's letters to the church. And since that conversation, I've come to discover that perhaps I do have a favorite book in the Bible. And for me, among the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the different assemblies in the region of his day, my favorite one is the book of Philippians. I love the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I'm not saying it is his greatest expression of love and appreciation for an assembly of believers, but I will tell you this, it is my favorite expression of love and appreciation and commendation to assembly of believers of all the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And this morning, as I am going to make an effort of expressing my love, my appreciation, and my commendation of this assembly of believers, I am going to echo the sentiments of the Apostle Paul in the letter that he wrote to the church of Philippi. I said it a little bit, and I'll say it a little further. There's no way I could tell you how much my time in the shadow of this beautiful assembly of people prepared me for every single thing that God has accomplished at Ebenezer Bible Church. I'm not going to point fingers and name names, but I can tell you I have a sincere and deep appreciation for the things that I learned in the shadow of my pastor, in the shadow of Sunday school teachers here, in the shadow of elders here at the church, and in the shadow of all of you as a congregation, as an assembly of believers at St. Thomas Bible Church. The things that I have learned in your presence, in your company, for the many years that I enjoyed here, there's no way I could put a price on them. I was immediately humbled at the first of the year when the Lord asked me to come alongside a people that were in a very broken place. I was instantly humbled to discover how much of the things that I enjoyed in this assembly were a learning process to prepare me for everything that God was about to do in a small assembly of believers that was in a very broken place. There's just no way I could find the words to express to you the valuable things that all of you gave me the many years that I was here. I have to say, I was extremely humbled. I mean, humbled like never, ever before in my life. Because I really felt, I really believed that I was being helpful to all of you, and I would like to think that I was being helpful to you all of the years that I was here. But I was extremely humbled to discover how much you gave to me. I expressed to my pastor, I expressed to different ones that I had conversation with here from your assembly. I was in school here. I really was. I wasn't teaching, I was learning. And I learned so much. And it's so dear and precious to my heart. Some of the things that I needed to learn that I learned here that came into play in what the Lord is doing now in my life and at Ebenezer, they're just invaluable. They're absolutely invaluable. Some of the important things that I learned that I want to make mention of, I'm not going to name names, but perhaps some of you will know who you are. One of the most important things I learned, because it was so necessary for me when the Lord brought me to Ebenezer, to a place of that is being rebuilt with young believers and people young in their faith. One of the most invaluable things I learned here is to just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. I learned here that sometimes I was a little too intense. I was a little too overbearing. And if I hadn't learned that here in the presence of this assembly, it wouldn't be going so well at Ebenezer Bible Church. I can tell you that. One of the other important things that I learned here, and I mean, I don't know how to rank them, which one is more precious and which one is most valuable, but this one's right up there close to the top. And I'm so thankful that I learned that this here in time of assembly with you all. Because I can tell you the Lord couldn't have accomplished a single thing at Ebenezer Bible Church through Pete Carnahan if I hadn't learned this important and valuable thing. And I'm so thankful and grateful to all of you that played a part in helping me understand. You can't lift people up by beating them down. That was a painful lesson for me that I learned here, but I'm thankful that I learned it, and I thank you, all of you, that helped me learn that in such a beautiful way. Without even saying words, you helped me learn it just by your behavior, and that has been so valuable to me. And there's many, many more things that I could express that I learned in your company that is so helpful and useful to me and to the Lord. But I'm going to stop at that, and I want to share from the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, as he expressed his love and his passion for that assembly of believers, and he expressed commendation towards them for who they were and what they were and what God was doing in that assembly. I want to echo those sentiments towards each and every one of you here this morning. I gave my message a title simply because I'm big on titles, and I like to tie the message into the title at some point. The title of the message today is simply this: Work It Out. Work it out. The Apostle Paul, oftentimes being a traveling minister of the gospel and oftentimes being unable to be with the different assemblies that he helped establish in the region of his day, he wrote letters because he wanted to be a part of all of the beautiful things that God was doing in each and every one of those assemblies in the different towns, in the different regions of that day. A lot of times he was detained because he was with another assembly in another place. And a lot of times, as all you well know, he was detained because he literally was imprisoned. The Apostle Paul, he had it a little harder than our pastor. He had it a little harder than I do. He had it a little harder than most ministers of the gospel today. He spent a lot of time being imprisoned and being beaten and being mistreated for the ministry of the gospel. So he would write letters to them. And as I said before, my favorite one of his letters that expresses love and affection and appreciation for an assembly of believers is found in Philippians. If you want to follow along, I won't literally be reading scripture, but I will be drawing on the Apostle Paul's sentiments and echoing them and expressing them towards all of you. In chapter 1 of Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote these words: to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus. That's all of you. He went on to express grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said this important thing that are my sentiments as well towards each and every one of you. And because of the time I enjoyed of assembly with you all, I thank God every time. And I mean it, I do. I thank God every time that I remember you. Over and over and over and over in this past year, I thanked God for my remembrance of you and the time that I enjoyed in this assembly here. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. You can't know the joy in my heart as my mind's flooded with the memory of my time in assembly here and the things that I enjoyed and learned together with this beautiful people. I thank God in all of my prayers for you all. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm confident, I know very well that each and every one of you, I know this, I'm confident of this. He who has begun a good work in each and every one of you will carry it on to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. Then the Apostle Paul went on to express something that are my sentiments towards you as well. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you. And I can say that well as well. It's perfectly natural. It's right. It's perfectly natural for me to feel that way about all of you because I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains, the Apostle Paul said, or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. How I express that to you is simply this: whether I'm here with you or I'm at Ebenezer Bible Church, wherever I'm at, it's simply an extension of all of you. It's just like all of you are right there with me. All of the beautiful things that we've experienced at Ebenezer Bible Church this year, I'd love to tell you. I'm fighting myself not to tell you all the wonderful things that God is doing in that assembly of believers, but I only can tell you this for time's sake. It's like all of you have been right there with me, even though we were apart from each other physically. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. Whether I'm here with you or we're separate physically, it's like you're all right there with me. You share in God's grace with me, and God can testify. He can be Pete Carnahan's witness today how much I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. I can hardly say it without tears how precious and beautiful all of you people are to me. I long for you with a passion in my heart. And this is my prayer, the Apostle Paul said, and mine as well, for each and every one of you, that your love may continue to abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Those are my sentiments as well to you, that you continue to abound in Christ Jesus our Lord, even though I can't literally physically enjoy the time in assembly with you. It's my prayer that you just continue to grow and just continue to be Christians and just continue to be an assembly of believers and just continue to be part of the body of Christ Jesus our Lord, the church of the one and only true and living God. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing it well and you're doing it beautiful. And I tell you, as I tell the people at Ebenezer, don't rest on your laurels. Continue, as I know you all do, to say, Lord, what more can we do? What more can we do? How can we do even better than what we're doing? But the Apostle Paul expressed towards the believers at Philippi, keep doing what you're doing. Be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, because it brings glory and it brings honor and it brings praise to God. The Apostle Paul went on then later in chapter 1 a little further to speak about his being torn between two passions. The Apostle Paul, as I mentioned earlier, he didn't have it quite as easy as our pastor. He didn't have it quite as easy as I do. He was mistreated cruelly and harshly for his ministry of the gospel. He was often in chains. He was often bound. He was often imprisoned. He often couldn't be with the assembly of believers that he had helped establish around the region. And he found his heart to be torn in this way. He said, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn, he said, between two desires. I'm torn between the two. He had a desire to depart and be with Christ, because certainly that would end all of his suffering and all of his mistreatment in life in this world. But he had an equal desire Because of his love and affection for God's people, he had an equal desire. And he said, it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. The Apostle Paul had such a love. He had such a passion for the church of the one and only true and living God. He had such a love. He had such a passion for the different assembly of believers that he was a part of, and I share in that passion. I know that's something that all of you can relate to. We have a passion. We have a desire to leave the struggles and the pains and the turmoil of life in this world. A part of us desires for that all to be over and to be in the presence and the glory of our Lord. But we also have a passion and a desire because of the people that we love in life. And most importantly, in the Apostle Paul expressed, because of his passion and love for the church and for assemblies of believers, he was torn between two things. He went on to say then, whatever happens, he said to the assembly at Philippi, and I express those same sentiments to you this morning from the passion in my heart for you all. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is what he said to them, so that then, whether I come and see you, whether he actually has the privilege to be with them, or he just hears about you. I express those sentiments as well. Whether I have the privilege, which will be rare, to come and enjoy assembly with you once again, or I only hear of the beautiful things God is continuing to do in you all. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves, continue to do what you're doing in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you're standing firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. The Apostle Paul expressed, and I share those sentiments as well. In chapter 2 then, he went on to express, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and I know all of you do, if you have any comfort from his love, I know all of you do, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit, I know all of you do, then make my joy complete, the Apostle Paul said, and I express those same sentiments. Just continue, because of what you are and who you are in Christ, to make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, continue to value others even above yourselves, not looking only on your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's one of the things that I enjoyed so immensely about this assembly. You don't value yourselves above others. You have a sincere love and passion and interest in the well-being of others. I have enjoyed that always as part of this assembly, and I commend you and encourage you to continue that behavior, even though I no longer am here with you and get to enjoy it physically with you. In your relationships with one another, continue to have this same mindset as Christ Jesus himself had. Y'all are beautiful. Y'all are precious to me. And I can't express that enough. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just continue in this manner. The Apostle Paul went on then to say, if you're following along in chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, not only when I was here enjoying assembly with you, but as you have always obeyed, and now much more even in my absence, I know you're continuing on. I know you're growing in Christ. I know you're getting along fine. Without me, I have no doubt of it. And Here comes your title. I love the title of Message, and I love to bring that title into Scripture and apply it to Scripture. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. There's your title. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out. What does salvation look like? What does the salvation of a soul look like? What does the salvation of a collection of souls that are an assembly of believers look like? If I had a mirror, I could hold it up. It looks like all of you. And the Apostle Paul was expressing to the believers at Philippi, continue to work out your salvation. He was expressing, you're doing it well. You're doing it good. Don't rest on your laurels. Always look for what more can I do as a member of an assembly of believers. What more can we do collectively as an assembly of believers? Don't rest on your laurels. Always look forward to what more can you do. But I need you to know what the Apostle Paul wanted the believers of the assembly at Philippi to know. You're doing it. This is what working out your salvation looks like. It looks like all of you, and it looks beautiful, and you're doing it well. And I count myself privileged to have enjoyed so many years of assembly with you all. The Apostle Paul went on then to say in chapter 2, verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. That's powerful right there. And I want to put some emphasis on that right there. Just keep doing what you're doing. Work out your salvation in the beautiful way that all of you are doing it and have been doing it for so many years. Continue to look for how you can improve upon the things that God is doing in this assembly of believers. Continue to seek his way and his will. How can we improve? How can we do even better? But the Apostle Paul wanted the believers at Philippi to know, and I want all of you to know, just keep doing what you're doing without grumbling or arguing, and you, so that you can be blameless, because this is what you will look like to the world of lost and dying souls around you if you continue to work out your salvation in this beautiful way. You will shine like stars in the sky as you continue to hold firmly to the word of life. I'm going to jump ahead to chapter 4 and express these sentiments that the Apostle Paul expressed to the churches at Philippi, and they're my sentiments to all of you as well. The Apostle Paul, after explaining all of these sentiments of love and affection and appreciation and commendation to an assembly of believers that was precious and dear to them, he said, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep working it out. Just keep asking the Lord, what more can I do? Just keep doing what you're doing. And then he expressed in chapter 4, verse 4, or verse 1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you, all of you, whom I love and long for, you are indeed, I can relate to the Apostle Paul, you are indeed my joy and my crown. Continue, all of you, in this beautiful way to stand firm in the Lord, my dear friends. And that concludes my message. And no matter how powerful my words were of expression of love and affection and sentiments, good sentiments towards you all, they weren't powerful enough. But y'all are precious to me, and I'll thank the Lord all of my living days for everything that I enjoyed in the presence of this assembly. You're beautiful, every one of you. I'm going to turn the podium back to the pastor to close in prayer, and I'll make my way to the door because I don't get to see y'all anymore every week like I did, and I just like to greet y'all as you leave and express my love and care for you personally. Pastor, if you'll come, I'll make my way to the door.